We will continue in the dispensations of time. We had just left off in the law, the age of the law. You that have your notes there, you that are new, we are dispensationalists. We believe and know that God saves men only one way. And that's belief in His Son through faith. He never saved any man any other way. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No part of the kingdom of God is any man from Adam unless he was born again. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a teacher, Jesus asked him, he says, know not these things? The Old Testament, where it says, I will give them a new heart, a new birth, cleanse them with the water, a new spirit, the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus should have known, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But then the principle and the position is different in each and every age. And as we brought out in the law, unless from Exodus 19 you see a difference, and then in Acts 1 you see a difference, and then that we are not going to bring on the millennium, the church age did not replace Israel. Israel is not replaced. They're just set aside during this church age. As we know from Romans 9, 10, and 11. And we know that this age will not end in the millennium. It will end in the tribulation. And if you read all Scripture and do not rightly divide the word of truth, you will always be confused in this issue. Now, we were still in the law in the last, in the last study, you that have your charts there, we came to the cross. Now, the cross is what ended the law. There's where the law ended. So, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are under the law, aren't they? So it's the book of Acts where we start the church. But then we left off with 2 Kings 17. Israel was warned not to provoke the Lord. Exodus 23:20 says, my angel, if you do not obey his voice, it says, don't provoke him. They were warned he wouldn't forgive their sins if they did. This is 2 Kings 17, where we left off. But they did provoke him, we find out. They provoked him in every sort of evil there. And he said, unless it had been for his part, his promise, he would have left them. We found out that the carrying away of Babylon, as far as the land, they could stay in the land as long as they kept the law. They didn't, and they were taken out of the land. They were sold as slaves. And through time, you that know history, what all that has happened to Israel. But it says there, they refused to believe in the Lord, verse 14. In Hebrews 3:16 through 20, they did provoke, we're told. And who should not enter into their rest but them? Why? Because of unbelief. We find this out. And then in Exodus 33:14, when they had sinned so grievously, as it were just a few hours after they had bound themselves, "We will do all," Exodus 19, "we'll do all the Lord says," all of it. Not that we'll try, not that maybe we can, but you see, they put themselves in under the covenant of law. It was left up to them. If you know the story, they grievously failed. While God was giving the law, they were down at the bottom of the mountain worshiping a golden calf. Aaron himself was in on this. And you know, if you know the story, the first law, Moses broke them. And then the broken law, or the law, the second giving of the law, was put in the ark. It was put out of sight. It was put, God had to look through the blood. It was kept in Christ, the broken law. We couldn't keep it. That was what Jesus did when they came to him and with the woman caught in adultery. It says he stooped down and he wrote. He said, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." And evidently he wrote the law, and then the first law was, and he rubbed it all out. It was completely broke. None of them kept it. Then he wrote it again, the second law. Or that he kept for us. But in Exodus 33:14, you'll find out that after this happened, that Moses said, "Unless your presence goes with us, we just wells not go." And God promised him there that his presence would go with him after this happened. Well, the angel of his presence was Isaiah 63:9. You will find out that this was the angel, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that went with them. And it says there all the way through their journey, the one that saved them, the one that in love pitied them, the one that redeemed them. But they provoked him. And then the time came when he was made flesh, they crucified him. So the law was not given that anyone would ever keep it. It was given to show that God's holiness was so far above what man was born into, that is in Adam, it was impossible for him to keep. Galatians 4:4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman," that's the New Testament, a virgin. He wasn't made of a man and a woman. "But he was made under the law." His ministry was under the law. He fulfilled the law that they had put themselves under. His ministry was all under law. Matthew 5:17, he states that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law in both word, act, and deed, all his motive. The Sermon on the Mount is just a more expression of the law, only deeper. It goes thought, motive. Just the thought of it. And our Lord Jesus Christ was made under this law, and he fulfilled it. He never had one evil thought. When he came to be baptized in the Jordan, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He knew he had never had one evil motive in his heart. It was, and this was, this law, dispensation, was fulfilled at the cross. At the cross, this dispensation ended. We read this in 2 Corinthians 3:7, that it was a ministration of death. About 1,500 years, a chosen people, not one out of them, not Moses, not Abraham wasn't under the law, but Moses, Joshua, any of David, well, we know David, how utterly he failed in the law. He should have been executed. There was not even a sacrifice for the sins that he committed. And anyway, in 2 Corinthians, we find out that it administrated nothing but death. That is, for 1,500 years, this chosen people that had the law, that were isolated from all other nations, utterly failed, as we read last week, the verses. No one found life in the law. That's why it is called the ministration of death. It will utterly kill anybody under it. In Romans 3:19 through 20, the law is to those under the law, not to those that aren't under. And it says that the Gentiles were not under the law. It speaks to those that were under the law, and nobody under was ever justified by the law. As Romans 3:31, we see, as it reads, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Not in our sight. In his sight. It says that you make a mistake by how many times our pastor has said, people have came into my office, and when I corner them, say, well, do you keep the Sermon on the Mount? Well, I try, but I'm sure not as bad as so-and-so. So you're judging yourself by somebody else. That's not how the law will judge you. It judges you according to God's righteousness, according to His holiness. And it was universal. Not one under the law ever kept the law. In the 5th chapter of Revelations, not one person was ever able to look at any of the goodness of God or the promises through the law. He said, I wept much for no man. In heaven, beneath the earth, above the earth, was able not only to receive God's graciousness, but not even able to even look on them. Not able to even see them. But in verse 31, it says, do we make void the law? After Paul explaining that nobody would be justified by the law, he says, do we make void the law through faith, through grace? He says, goodness, no. We are the ones that establish the law. We know exactly what the law says. We don't try to come that way. We try to come by the blood way. By what? The grace and the life way. We don't make void the law. It's the people that try to put themselves under law after they're saved that make the law void, because they say they're living by it in their own strength, and they're not. They are the ones that lower the standard, lower the standard, lower the standard. They make void the law. We, grace people, don't make void the law. We establish the law. We say it is a ministration of death. Don't come this way. And then it says in Colossians 2:14, He blotted it out. That is the handwriting, the law. He nailed it to his cross. That's plain enough that the law ended at the cross. He fulfilled the law. Romans 5:4-15, the law can only bring the wrath of God, it says. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. The minute you put yourself under trying to please God some other way than the Christ life that is in you, and just living the life, it says that you bring on yourself the wrath of God. Oh, of course, the wrath of God, that wrath of a sinner, is off of you whether you realize it or not. But you cannot please God. The reason is because you do not keep the things that you try to put yourself under. If you do, you just become a self-righteous Pharisee. Like the Pharisees of Jesus' time. Romans 10:4, it says Christ is the end of the law. He ended it for righteousness. I have no other righteousness in the life that He gave me. That perfect life that He fulfilled every jot and tittle is yours. Not only is the life yours, but He is your righteousness, we are told in Corinthians. And then Galatians 3:21-24, the law wasn't against God's promises, it says. God promised righteousness in the life of His Son. Israel was kept under the law, or the schoolmaster, until Christ. God gave Israel the law as a schoolmaster to show them up to Christ that they had to have Christ. No matter what kind of a people they were. He speaks of his vineyard. And that He hedged them all around with the law. He kept them a separate people. And then He told them that parable of the Jews. And they knew exactly what He says, what do you think He'll do to these? He said He sent prophets after prophets to them. They killed the prophets and finally they killed the Son. As he told them, which one of you, none of you, ever keep the law? Then Romans 5:6, it says, we were without strength. When we were without strength, or utterly helpless to sin. Finally, when we had to admit we were finally helpless to self, we were finally helpless to the world, we were finally helpless to the devil. This is Romans 5:6, it says, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's everybody. No one, no, not the Jews, not in their strength, they had their religion. And you know what the Gentiles were, if you know history. My wife, yesterday, she was telling, well, I'm Pennsylvania Dutch too. She was talking to a Dutch, and she says, well, I've got a lot of Pennsylvania Dutch in my family, too. And I says, did you watch that program on what they were? They were cannibals. Showing on TV how the death, they were trying to show what death was to man, and how over there in Germany and everything, they all ate, and it showed them cooking everybody, and unless you took a bite of old grandpa, it was a fact that you refused to acknowledge his great life. Well, don't try looking back in any of your roots, unless they're to Christ. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And when left alone, don't think that the human race is not ungodly. Look over there, and what they're doing now is just plain anarchy. The minute there is no police or nothing, you don't want to live in a time like that. But here, Israel was given. They were a vineyard. He gave them everything. He hedged them, put a wall around them. And yet, they finally come to the place that they were complete without strength because they were always going to keep the law itself. But finally, without strength, and realize that you have no strength except that Christ life and the Holy Spirit guiding that life to resist the devil or the world or yourself. You have none. Why were they cast away, Israel? Why were they broken off? Romans 11:20, it says because of unbelief they were broken off. Now, they believed the law. It wasn't unbelief in the law. They say in John 7:49 that those that were accepting Christ, those that were believing in the law, they said the reason that they're believing in Jesus is they're cursed. This generation is cursed. Why? They know not the law. Now, it was those Pharisees that were making void the law. They were still saying, they believed that they were still keeping the law. And here they were getting ready to crucify the one that had given the law. Now, then in Romans 11:20, there, if you're there, we're reading, it says to the, now realize what he's saying, you'll be cut off. Not an individual there. This as is like Israel as a whole people. And Romans 11:20, it says, don't get high-minded and think you can keep the law any more than they kept the law. He says, you stand in faith. You stand in grace. Don't let what happened to Israel happen to you. But it has. Even many of our brethren were brethren that love God. But just take Wesley, for instance. You read Wesley, you can see that he never seen the grace of God clearly. Never. And so it has been. What is it doing in Doton Ritchell with us? And that's what's happened to us. We got high-minded, thinking that in our own strength we could keep God's law, measure up to His holiness. And at this, Galatians 3:12, it says, the law is not of faith. It's either one or the other. You have law in, and Paul, he wrestled with this in the 7th of Romans. He thought, I got saved, now I can keep it. But he found out he couldn't keep it, even after he was saved. He found out that still sin in the flesh was there. And now you say, well, don't you think that God has given us that life? Absolutely. If you start on from day one when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you yield to the Holy Spirit and to that life, you would not sin one time against God. You might against, as far as people thought you were, but you wouldn't sin against Him. Absolutely. It's just that Paul found out he had to wrestle with something stronger. And he found out that the dominion was given as long as he was still illegal, had that legal thing in him. You can read it for yourself. So the cross, you that have your charts there, your notes, you'll see that the cross, Jesus judged instead of believers. And of course, that believers there, that's all. Yeah, you always have a little These notes came from the Moody Institution and were copied off of them. There was Brother Copley's notes on this, but there is in the next dispensation something that's wrong there that belongs in the Millennium Dispensation. But anyway, you'll see there on your chart it was believers, and they'll give you that thought that Jesus only died for the believers. But Jesus not only died for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. He died for old Judas as much. And Romans 5, 6 through 8, it says he died for the ungodly. That's everyone. 1 Peter, it says he bare our sins in his own body. That's 1 Peter. Where? On the tree or on the cross, and there only. So those 3 hours, Jesus bore the sins of the whole world, of every human being that would accept him. There is no such thing as you doing this to make Christ suffer for your sins anymore. That type of thing was taught to certain ones of you. That in communion, you're doing this to hurt Jesus. No, no. In those 3 hours, he bare, and this says, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree or on the cross. And there is where he bore our sins. John 1:17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came. What was it? It wasn't given, it came with him, with Jesus Christ, when you accepted him. And so, at the cross, the law ended. I hope you can see that. I hope that way you can go on into this next age. Now we go into this next age, you'll see there, of grace and glory, or known as the church age. Now there you'll see that they have Matthew 28:18. That's what's wrong there. That belongs in the next age. Because, well, I'll turn to Matthew. What is it? Matthew 28:18. Yes. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, this is after the resurrection, in heaven and in earth. Of course, he just hasn't taken it yet. You have to realize, you say, well, all power on this earth is his. It's his. He just, when he takes it, he'll take it in the right time. And then it says, go ye, which will be in the millennium. Ye Jews, he was speaking to Jews all together here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Notice when we'll get into Acts, it's that we are called out. We are being called out of all nations. This church age makes up all nations. There's neither Gentile nor Jew during this time. There's neither male nor female during this time. You lose all your identity in Christ, a new, complete new creature in Christ. What a difference here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in one name. In other words, God, not names. God, one name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't baptize in this day in those three names, we baptize in the name of Jesus. Nowhere you can read the Gentile time, 2 Kings 24:13, Isaiah 66:8, and Acts. Then you read Acts 8:4, 11 and 19, 2:38, 10:48, 19:1-5, and 8:6, you'll find out they baptized in Jesus' name. And Paul says in Corinthians, I baptize not in my name or one name. Then, during the millennium, they will go out and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, a Trinity. They will say, yes, thou art equal, thou art God the Son. See, the Jews, they just not accept the Trinity. Though, our Elohim, our God, is a Trinity. But they will teach you them to observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end. So you'll see there that that belongs into the millennium. Now Matthew 16:18, it says, I will build my church. That was future. The church age has not started. But you will note now what a difference between the law and the church. It's not a nation. It's not land. It's to set yourself, your affections on something heavenly now. And they say in their notes there, Acts 1 and 2, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 12:13, and you'll see that the whole church or the entire church had its was baptized on the day of Pentecost. For by one Spirit, and if you have your italics there, it says R. Cross out that R. Because that R doesn't belong there. It's were. If you're going to put an italics in there, generally italics is helpful to the way our language has changed. But here it is not. It should read, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. That is Jew or Gentile. Notice that. Now, there was just Jews on the day of Pentecost. But then the house of Cornelius, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. This was one baptism. If you have a hard time, get Brother Copley's track on this. He explains it in detail, where you should have no doubt whatsoever after you read it what this is. But notice the difference. Jews and Gentiles, bonds and free, and have been not made. You'll see that Scofield even is right on that in your notes, that not made is not there. They weren't forced to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, 380 of them give up in 10 days or less than 10 days. But each and every one of them that were given the drink, they did take it. And so it is with us today, all given to drink of the Spirit. It isn't that every one of us after we are saved are filled with the Holy Spirit, but you've been given. And don't say, well, have you got your baptism? That is not scriptural. You're infilling with the power is what it is. The baptism was we were all baptized. So the church began on the day of Pentecost. And what a change it was. It was no longer the Jews as a nation, but everyone and anyone. Here in the millennium, there in the 19th of Exodus, he says, you shall be a peculiar people unto me, which they will soon be. That's what he's getting ready for them to be. But in them, they will still, now if you weren't in the tribe of Levi, you could never be a priest. You could have never went in and had the fellowship of eating of the bread in the holy place that they had. But what a difference now. Anyone during this age, individually, that will walk in the Spirit can rule and reign with Him. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, what color you are, whether you're male, whether you're female. All that has been broken down. It's up to you if you will yield to the life. That it's just like England. England, there's lords and there's certain things, but then there's only one king and one queen, isn't there? That's the royal. Now there's royal, but then there's the family. The church is his family. And the earth is his empire. You're in the church because you're saved. But where are you going to be in the family? It's offered to anybody. Now, during this law, you had to be born of a natural thing to get into certain positions. Here, what a change now that we see. This age is anybody that will believe. You tell somebody that, they'll say, well, that's too simple. Yeah, that's why you won't believe it. It's so simple you don't believe it, right? But in Acts 16:30, the question is answered. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And that is it for this age. In your notes there, you'll see John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Or he never did have life. Acts 17:30, it's still the same command. God commandeth all to repent, and that is, you have to repent by believing you're a sinner to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. What a difference. That is, in God's dealing, in his principal way he deals at this time. Like we said, all gets saved, it's the same thing through faith. 1 John 3:23, it's the same command. Believe on the name of Jesus. John 1, 11 through 13, it says, as many as believe, they have the power to become the sons of God. 1 Peter 1:23, what a difference here from the law. What a difference. Born again, not of a corruptible seed. Your first Adam, it was a corruptible seed. Now we're not born of a corruptible seed, as 2 Peter 1 through 4 tells us, by believing the promises, that is all in Christ, everyone is a partaker of the divine nature, having, not maybe, we having have escaped the corruption of this world or death. Now, there was 40 days of transmission or interim between this, if you are there at Acts, but we will get into when the church is born in Acts in our next lesson, God willing. But what a difference now in the grace age and in the law age. But we will not bring in the millennium. We are bringing in the great tribulation. And that's the way this age will end.